Got to announce that starting Wednesdays, this Wednesday actually, correct? Brother Ed will be opening up the church on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8 for an hour of prayer. There'll be some music. It's going to play through on the TV downstairs. That's the goal. That's the plan. I don't believe so. No. No. Okay. The idea is just to spend a little time in worship and to pray, which is what we need. That's what we've been spending this time with Elijah. Elijah was a man who prayed. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It was Elijah that said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." This was back on Mount Carmel. He was praying. I asked last week if you would start taking time every night and start praying for our church, start praying for others. I don't need you to raise your hand, but did you do it? Did you do it? Did you take 5 minutes, 5 minutes out of your day, even if it was together with your spouse before you put your head on the pillow? Did you take 5 minutes to pray? Prayers are coveted. God is seeking. He is seeking for those who want Him. He knows the hearts. And this was on a devotional. It says, "God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God." And that is Psalm 53, verse 2. "Are you a man or woman who is a seeker of God? Because the Lord delights in seeing those children of His who truly understand the meaning of life and why there is only one thing worth seeking, God Himself. I can always tell when I have not been seeking God. The cares of this life, the urgent over the important." Remember, Satan is the master of the urgent, not the important. "And the petty irritations." There was an irritation here this morning. When I walked in, there was an irritation amongst the worship team. I could sense it, and I felt it, and we prayed right then and there, did we not? And that spirit of depression, the oppressed, was gone. These are the symptoms of a life that has not been in the presence of God. Do we understand? Do you really understand? That is the question that God raises to each of us each day. If we understand, then why do we spend day after day toiling and fretting over what doesn't matter? Can we set proper boundaries in our lives that don't allow our time with Him to be continually stolen away? 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's three sets of commercials on a TV show, folks. 5 minutes is all I'm asking. It is a challenge in a world that screams, "Activity, activity." Do you have a consistent time of seeking Him in your life? Are you committed to developing that intimacy with your Lord that He so desires? If not, ask Him today to help you. This is the longing of His heart. Ask Him to make it the longing of your heart. Then you will demonstrate to Him you understand and you will be a seeker of God. How powerful is that? Amen. How powerful is that? A seeker of God. It's only through prayer that we can start changing. We can start growing as a church. A seeker of God. And this is going to be regurgitated because it's the power of God that resides in us. And we're going back and we're going to read Acts again because you need to hear it again. You need to hear it again. Because when it's in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. That means they were all seeking God. They were all praying. See, Jesus had already come and paid the price. And then He said, "I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Comforter to you." And he had already ascended to the Father. And they were charged with that mission. They knew what was to come. And so they were seeking him. They were seeking him. They took time. They took time. They burned their boat and they started to seek God, waiting for that promise of the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house while they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire that sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men. And I said this to you last week, devout. Devout means they had a knowledge of God. They had a knowledge of God. They knew the Torah. They knew what scriptures had said. They had the education. They sat amongst teachers and listened week after week after week. But they didn't know. They did not know him. And it says that they were devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those who are dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues in the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said they were full of new wine. See, just because you're going to surrender and you're going to start walking in the power of God doesn't mean you're not going to have scoffers. You're not going to have people that are going to try to test you. Satan is sitting there watching you, and he wants to chink at that armor. He wants to chink at that armor and break it down. So you get back into where he wants. Go back to the mud. Go back to the world. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." See, he's confirming that the last days, he's talking about it. And the last days started right here. The last days started as the Spirit came. We're in this period of grace, and then that is going to end. The church age is going to come to an end. The church age will come to an end. But before then, it says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit on those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and the signs the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Are you a seeker of God? Do you call on his name? Do you reach out to him? See, there was this man here proclaiming that. That was Peter. That was the man who walked along Jesus, and then he fell asleep at the wheel, did he not? He denied Christ three times, but God said, no, get back up. Do you love me? 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 And I'm asking that to you. Do you love him? Do you love him? Feed my sheep. This is what he's doing. He's feeding sheep. All around you, look around. All around the communities that we live are lost sheep. They need to hear the voice. This past week has been really special for me because I'm learning about my eye gate and my ear gate. I'm learning that when I allow things of the world to kind of creep in, I get a little sluggish. I get a little offset, right? I'm not walking in the power of God. I'm not seeking after him. I just get a little lazy. I get a little sluggish. And I have made it a point this past week. When I'm driving in the car, I've been listening to the Word of God. When I've been working out in the morning, I've been hearing some powerful sermons. I've been listening to some sermon jams just talking about power. David Wilkerson and John MacArthur, all these different ministers just preaching the Word of God, just cutting me to the heart, cutting me to the heart and encouraging me. That's why I've been listening to it, encouraging me to remain steadfast, And it's helped tremendously. And if you don't watch what you let into your eyes and what you let into your ears, it creeps in. It creeps in, and it just starts to create a little divide. And I've noticed it. I've been watching myself. At the end of the day, I go back and I think about my day and go, where did I miss that mark? Was I walking in the power of the Spirit, or was I walking in my own spirit with a lowercase s? Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. See, they saw. They were alive during Jesus and his testimony, during his mission, during his sharing, his 3.5 years of ministry. As you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says, concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. The ways of life, folks. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with him an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That was the promise to come, and it went back, all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3. That's why Eve got her name. She was originally called woman. It was part of the promise. We'll do a study on that sometime. Foreseeing spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. That Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. They're experiencing, right in the midst of it, the power of the Holy Spirit. For David did not ascend to heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my hand, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. That's bruising of the heel. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. We are the afar off. This is almost 2,000 years ago, folks. This is being prophesied. Some of you may be thinking, that was a long time ago. They've been talking about this for quite some time. It's been 2,000 years. The Lord hasn't come yet. The Bible talks about that. It talks about those who scoff at that. Say, where is he coming? Folks, it took over 4,000 years for him to come the first time. But you study and you read and you understand the time in which we live, the signs and times of the seasons. And yes, maybe it might be years down the road, but the point is, you can feel it. You can feel the lawlessness. You can feel it. And you can feel it because the Holy Spirit resides inside you. If you're seeking to listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll understand that in which you live. And as you read the scripture, it becomes alive to you. And you understand and go, I get now. I get it now. I see the things that are unraveling and I see the things that are going. You can't tell me that the last 10 years, things haven't gotten more crazy. And it's not just here. It's everywhere. And that's not to scare us. That's to encourage you. That's to encourage you to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, folks. Remember Stephen? He was boldly proclaiming and he was getting stoned. He said, I see him. I see him. It didn't matter. I see him. Then Peter said to him, repent and for the promise is to you. And so as a result of this, the church came together. The church came together. And I want to go a little bit further here in Acts, because the power of the Holy Spirit, if you would yield to it, can really open the eyes of discernment. And I want to read this, and this is in the New Living Translation. And I was just reading about this the other day, and it just kind of hit me. And it talks, my wife made a comment to me about belief. And she said, you know, even the demons believe. Even the demons believe and they tremble with fear. And I was thinking about those who commit, say, I'm committed to Christ. You've even been baptized. Yet the Spirit may not reside inside you. You may have said some words, but are you actually seeing? Are there actually fruits of your labor? Are you being changed? Are you being changed, or are you the same person that just said something? So like when you look back on your life, I'm the same person. I haven't changed. I don't have this longing for God. I don't have this love, this affinity that I found, that pearl of great price that has changed me to want me to be more like Him. Do you have a conviction in your heart when you do things that are wrong, you know, that are not pleasing in the sight of the Lord? Because here's this man, and it's in Acts chapter 8, in verse 4. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, so you may not be able to follow it completely here. But it says, a man, verse 9, named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the Great One, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. He's not using the power of the Holy Spirit here, folks. He's using magic, witchcraft. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news. What's the good news? It's the gospel. It's what we just heard Peter preach. Concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, men and women were baptized. That's we are going to have a baptism service, folks. But listen to this. Listen right here. Then Simon himself, what does it say? Believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. See, he said something. He said a commitment, believe, and he followed along. He followed along and he listened and he was amazed by this awesome sign of miracles. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given, when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. You see, he was looking at the Holy Spirit, just something else to add in. Something else to add in. Is already magic and things that he was doing. But Peter replied, A, your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gifts can be bought. Listen to this. This is the point. This is the point I'm trying to say. Just because you say some words doesn't mean anything. It comes down to the condition of the heart. Amen. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. If your heart is not right with God, you can't have part with His Holy Spirit. Right. You can't have your cake and eat it too. That just popped off the page to me. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't live in the world and say, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit to have control over you, right, to direct your path. It edifies Him, not yourself. It edifies Him. It glorifies Him. It exalts Him. He tells him, repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. When the Holy Spirit comes inside you, you get gifts. And you see a gift of discernment that happened right there. A gift of discernment to know the heart of a man. And I'll take it back to where we left it off with Elijah now. And that was in 13. I did close it that last week. And I said, again, after the two sets of 50, right? After the two sets of 50 that were burned by Elijah calling down fire from heaven, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men, and a third captain of 50, and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s, but let my life now be precious in your sight. You see, God knew the heart of man. Elijah had that same gift of discernment. He saw how this man approached. He came with a humble and contrite spirit. And that's in Proverbs 3:34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. In James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this man fell down on his knees and begged for mercy. That is what you and I either did or must do when we come to the cross. We come to the cross on our bended knees saying, Lord, take my life. I have nothing else to offer you. I give you my life. I've surrendered to you. Thank you for what you accomplished at the cross. Forgive me of my sins. Help me repent to turn and change from my wicked ways that I now seek after you. Therefore, submit to God. This is in James. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, it takes submission. It's an act of submission. It's no different than why we raise our hands when we worship. It's an act of submission. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It says, if you abide, abide in me. Abide in me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will lift you up. And the angel of the Lord, in verse 15, said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he rose and went down with him to the king. So Elijah says, okay, this man asked for mercy. I'll give him mercy. I won't call fire down upon him. And I'll actually go down and see the king. I'll go down now at this man. Not because he ordered it, because what does it say? It says, the angel of the Lord said to Elijah. It wasn't because a soldier said, come down. It's because he was listening to the word of God. An angel spoke to him and said, now go down. See, Elijah's back in the power of the word of the Lord. He's back in the power. He's not in the cave reclused. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no real God in Israel to inquire of his word? Because you didn't believe, basically? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. See, Elijah said, you made your choice, and now you will surely die. Now you will surely die. There are those who've heard the gospel over and over and over again. My wife made a comment the other day, be like, well, that's partly my fault. And I said, no. Regarding the person, you know, the people that had she had talked about. She said, when I first came to the Lord, I was a little too zealous. I said, it doesn't matter about being overzealous. There's no, not a formula. I said, the people we're talking about heard the gospel. They've heard it numerous times. They've heard it numerous times, yet their heart has become callous to it. They don't become surrendered to it. If they heard it, whether it was overzealous or they've heard it from other people as well, in a different way, presented a different way. But the point was, it takes submission. It takes submission. It takes the choice. See, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. This is in Revelation chapter 3. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He knocked on your hearts that day. He knocked on the hearts on your hearts that day at service. And that's when you raise your hands and said, I want that. See, that was the Spirit begging you, saying, hey, come on in. And it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. That's Jesus saying that. But he can't do it if you don't open the door. He's not gonna plow himself through. He's not gonna force himself upon you. That's free will. So Elijah says, you made your choice and now you will surely die. And I thought of two scriptures that popped out to me, and that was Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. See, this king was King Ahab's son, and he had a choice. He could have served the Lord God Almighty. He had an opportunity to right the wrong of his father. But instead, he decided to stay in Baal worship and therefore made his own grave in doing so. It's so many people that because they choose. See, Baal is just another form of idols. It's no different than us and the people whom we come in contact with that refuse to bow their knee. They choose their life. Their best life is now. It's not what's coming in the future. It's not an eternity with the Maker. It's an eternity in hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there is no light. You ever sat in darkness long enough? That's what people in prison, they get put in that solitary confinement. It drives them mad. It drives them mad because they're just confined in darkness. 2 Corinthians 5:9-11. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are all well-known to God, and I also trust are well-known in your consciences too. The terror of God. There is a just God. There is a just God. He is a God of love and mercy and tenderness, but he is a God of righteousness. And he will judge. He will judge all of us. We will all, just as Adam and Eve were naked in the garden, just as Adam and Eve were naked in the garden prior to the fall of man, we will all stand naked before God and have to give an account. There won't be any hiding. There won't be any covering. People in the book of Revelation, it talks about that they start hiding in the caves and they wish the rocks would fall on them just to get away from the wrath of the Lamb. So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Remember about God's word? It goes out and it does not return void. It was spoken and said, this is going to happen, you're going to die. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Israel? I didn't know we were going to kind of go off a different angle here or a different way. But I just, the Holy Spirit has just been on my, it's just been on my heart. And it was reaffirmed with Marcos and with what Ed was sharing. We're going to be closing out Elijah, and it's going to happen right here in 2 Kings chapter 2. And I want to I want to thank Ed for sharing his testimony, Ed and Kathy. It's just amazing. And so I want to read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll close. I do have a scripture I want to share, which is, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here." Actually, we'll stop there. "And when it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." And his testimony confirmed that God is in control. He has an appointed time for each of us. And so this powerful man of God, who's walking in the power of God, there's an appointed time for him that God says, "Nope. Nope, your time has come." And that's confirmed. Turn over to Psalm 139. You've heard me pray, you've heard me share this scripture before. And it says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me." That's verse 1. "You've examined my heart and you know everything about me." Everything. Today, right now, just like I told you, you stand naked before God. Your heart is naked. God knows the heart. You can fool man. You can put on that mask, right? We talked about the masquerade. But God knows the heart of man. And He knows everything about you. Even in the quiet places when you're alone. Is there integrity there to the word? Or is it because no one's looking? Okay. Now I'm okay. His eye. He sees everything, folks. "You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away." And that's "You know my thoughts even when I'm far away." Even when I'm far away from you. Even when I've just kept myself distant from you because I haven't surrendered to it. "You know my thoughts." You're wandering, Jeff. You're wandering. "You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me and you place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit." It's the capital S again. The Holy Spirit. "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence." This is a man after God's own heart. Who's saying this? Who's written it down for us? "If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night." But listen, folks, right here. "But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you." See, there's people who choose darkness over light, but they cannot hide. They cannot hide. When they breathe their last breath, because they chose darkness, they will still stand before Him. And then He will say, "I don't know you. Depart from me." If that doesn't tell you, It doesn't bring urgency to you. It doesn't bring urgency to you and your family and your loved ones. I don't know what else can. I don't know what else can. Because there are those who we love. And there's people I love too that I know they do not know the Lord. I know it. And they'll spend an eternity in hell. To you, the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. My son has been crafted in the womb. He knows every hair, and it looks like he's got a lot of hair, by the way, from the ultrasound. He knows every hair on his head. He's been knit together perfectly, just as you and I have been knit together perfectly. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex, because your workmanship is marvelous. Can you say that? You are marvelous. How marvelous is our God? How great is our God? We sang that. That's why we pick and sing these songs. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. And last, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And the point is, Elijah's life had been laid out, and we're coming to an appointed time where God is going to take him up in a whirlwind. And that's where we're going to leave it. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you for stirring my spirit, Lord, to share what you had, Lord Jesus. I thought I would be going a different route, but you accomplished your will and your purpose today. And I glorify you for that, Lord, that we be surrendered to know what was said today, Lord, that it cuts to our heart, that it changes us. Help us to be bold. Father, I pray that people would just take time to start praying. 5 minutes. I'm asking for 5 minutes, folks. Start praying for this church. Start praying for your loved ones who do not know Christ. Pray that the Holy Spirit knocks on their heart, whether it's by you or someone else that they come in contact with, that they may come to the knowledge of the truth. Because it's the truth that sets them free as it set you and I free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.